Blog Talk Radio.
Alrighty. Let's play some music.
I'm not clear of blame.
I'm doing something a little bit different tonight. I'm doing a sermon, okay, on Psalms 23, and we're going to be looking at the very first verse, okay? And it's "To Meet My Needs" is the name of the sermon, okay? And the series is "God Is Enough," okay? So let's start out with a prayer for our service. Lord our God, in the grace of Jesus Christ, we pray to you that your will be done for us. Excuse me. And for all the world. Through Jesus Christ, grant us faith that you love us, faith that we may live in your love, that we may hope in your love every day and have peace on earth, Lord, where there is much unrest and trouble, Lord. Keep us from firm and constant, remaining in your peace and the inner quiet you give us, because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. He has truly overcome, and this fills us with joy. We praise you, Almighty God, that you have sent Jesus Christ and that he has overcome the world. We praise you that he has overcome all evil, sin, and death, and that we may always rejoice in your presence. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I am thrilled to begin a new series this evening on Psalms 23. This is probably one of the best-known and best-loved passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. Whatever you think about Psalm 23, by the end of the series, I want you to remember one thing. God is enough. That's the title of the series. God is enough to meet my needs, to give me rest, to guide my steps, to calm my fears, to heal my hurt, and secure my future. God is enough. So when we're finished with the series, my hope is that when you hear Psalm 23, it will remind you of the complete sufficiency of Jesus Christ. He is enough. Today we start with Psalms 23, verse 1. And the subject for my sermon is God is enough to meet my needs. We will read the entire psalm, but focus on the first verse today. Read Psalms 23, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Third verse, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me." Verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." And verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So do you really believe that God is enough to meet your needs? We can say amen to that on Sundays, Wednesdays, and any other day of the week. But reality is, we struggle with truly believing this. You know why I say that? Because we worry all the time about all sorts of things. When you worry, it means you think God can't handle what you're facing. You don't think God can meet your needs. And the University of Michigan study discovered some interesting facts about fear and worry. 60% of what you worry about is unwarranted. 20% of what you worry about is already past. It is over and done with. 10% are issues so petty that it's foolish to worry about them. 4 to 5% are justifiable concerns, but there is nothing you can do about them. And only 2% of what you fear or worry about is legitimate. I can remember not long ago driving through a very dense fog. I could not see a thing. I could not see the taillights in front of me, the cars around me, or anything besides me. As I drove through the mess, I remembered something that I had read about fog. Did you know that if you take a dense fog that is 100 feet deep and cover 7 square blocks and condense it, you would get less than one single 8-ounce glass of water? When a single cup of water is vaporized, it transforms into a dense, blinding fog that covers 7 city blocks. This is what we do with worry. we allow something in our life, whatever it may be, that amounts to almost nothing, to become a blinding and all encompassing vapor that hinders our faith. So God has enough to meet our every need. The Lord is my shepherd. Philip Keller, in his wonderful book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalms 23, says, "Now the beautiful relationship given to us repeatedly in the Scripture between God and man are those of a father to his children and a shepherd to his sheep. When the simple, true, sublime statement is made by a man or woman that the Lord is my shepherd, it is immediately implies a profound yet practical working relationship between a human being and his maker. It links a lump of common clay to divine destiny. It means a mere mortal becomes a cherished object of divine diligence." So let's take a look at the very first verse in Psalms 23 and discover three ways that God can meet your needs. God can powerfully meet your needs. The Lord. David begins the psalm with two simple yet important words. The Lord. In my Bible, and maybe in yours, the word Lord is in all caps. This means that it's a specific name used in the Old Testament to refer to God. It is the name Jehovah. The single noun combines all three tenses of the Hebrew verb. To be, Jah, is he, is, and will be, is of, is simply being, and in the present tense. Ah is the past tense. That word, the word sums up the fact that God is eternal. He is the one who is, who was, who is, and will be. So when David says the Lord, he is essentially saying, this is the God who addresses my past. This is the God who is present in here and now. And this is the God who is God of the future of all eternity. And Exodus chapter 3, when God appears to Moses in the burning bush and expects him to confront Pharaoh, Moses asked a question. Read Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. The name represents the power and the might of Jehovah God. You know, being a dad is a cool job. It's the toughest job I have ever had. But I loved it. One of the fun things about being a dad to smaller children is that I'm still stronger than them. I used to tell my kids, you might be bigger than me one day, but I'll always be able to whoop you. Sometimes I watch my kids struggle to open a jar of jelly or pickles. I let them expend their energy trying to accomplish their goal. Then I say, let me see if I can get it. Then I act like I'm struggling to open the jar, but break the seal and open it just a bit. Then I give it back to them and say, it's just too tough for me. Why don't you give it one more try? Then, of course, they open it with ease. See, I think God operates in a similar way with his children sometimes. He knows that something is just too big for us to handle, but nothing is too hard for him. So he gets us over the hump, handles the hard part, and then allows us to rejoice in the victory that we could never accomplish on our own. So left to themselves, sheep lack everything. They are the most helpless animals. But if we belong to one who is self-sufficient, inexhaustible, and utterly unchanged by time, we will lack nothing. He is sufficient for all things and will provide for us. So when you face the struggles and pain of life, you need to remember that God is all-powerful. He is in control. He can handle anything you face. He is enough to meet your needs. God can personally meet your needs, my shepherd. David not only recognizes that God is almighty and all-powerful, but he reminds us that God is close and personal. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice the personal pronoun here. He is my shepherd. David begins with the name of Jehovah, and then he claims God is his own personal shepherd. He doesn't say he is my shepherd, or he doesn't say he is a shepherd, or he is the shepherd. He says he is my shepherd. He claims possession and ownership by God. If you are a believer, then God is your shepherd also. What amazing juxtaposition of ideas. The word Lord is repeated more than 4,000 times in the pages of the Old Testament. The name literally means I am who I am. On the other side of this amazing combination of ideas is the word shepherd. In Israel and other ancient societies, a shepherd work was considered the lowest of all works. If a family needed a shepherd, it was always the youngest son, like David, okay, who got the unpleasant assignment. Shepherds had to live with the sheep 24 hours a day, and the task of caring for them was unending. Day and night, summer and winter, and the fair weather and foul, they labored to nourish, guide, and protect the sheep. Who in his right mind would choose to be a shepherd? Yet God has chosen to be our shepherd. The great God of the universe has stooped to take just such care of you and me. This is astounding. The all-powerful God has chosen to be our personal shepherd. Throughout the entire Bible, we see that God is all-powerful and all-loving. He is great and mighty, but he is close and personal. That's the kind of God we serve. He is my shepherd. The tendency in the Old Testament was to talk about our God, but David makes it very personal in Psalms 23. He's not just God or our God. He is my God. See, David knew his shepherd and boasted in the relationship. Philip Keller said David knew from the firsthand experience that the lot in the life of a particular sheep depended on the type of man who owned it. Some men were gentle, kind, intelligent, brave, and selfless in their devotion to their stock. Under one man's sheep would struggle, starve, and suffer endless hardships, and another's care them would flourish and thrive contently. Okay? It is no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways. Our mass mind, our mob instincts, our fears and timidity, okay, our stubbornness and our stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance. Yet despite these adverse characteristics, Christ chose us. By us, calls us by name, makes us his own, and delight in caring for us. The Lord is my shepherd. He belongs to me, and I belong to him. He bought me with the price of his own blood. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So, if he is my shepherd, this is personal. He personally died for me. He personally saved me. He personally rules my life. He has the right to lead me, guide me, correct me, discipline me, and command my obedience. I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. See, you can't have it both ways. Either you belong to the shepherd or you don't. Either you are his flock or you're not. Jesus himself warned that one day there would be many who would say, "Did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?" Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. But for many, he will reply, "I never knew you." So God can perfectly meet your needs. I shall not want. What an incredible proclamation on the part of David. This God who is powerful and personal can perfectly meet our needs. There is not a need you have in your life that God doesn't know about and that he is incapable of handling. God can meet your needs perfectly. Now let's be clear. Sometimes we confuse our needs and our wants. We switch the tags on the items in our life occasionally. We think we need certain things when in reality they are simple wants. The word want here has a broader meaning than you might think. The main idea is not of lacking, not deficient in proper care or management, but a second emphasis is the idea of being utterly contented in the good shepherd's care and consequently not craving or desiring anything more. I shall not want. I am completely satisfied with his management of my life. Why? Because he is a shepherd to whom no trouble is too great. He cares for his flock. He is the rancher who is outstanding because of his fondness for his sheep, who loves them for their own sake as well as his personal pleasure in them. He will, if necessary, be on the job 24 hours a day to see that they are properly provided for in every detail. Above all, he is very jealous of his name and high reputation as the good shepherd. He is the owner who delights in his flock. For him, there is no greater contented, well-fed, safe, flourishing under his care. This indeed is his very life. He gives all he has to. He has to it. He literally lays himself out for those who are his. See, there are two pertinent verses in Philippians that teach us what it means. First, Paul says, read Philippians 4:11. Then we see him say that God will supply all our needs. Read Philippians 4:19. The secret to living with our needs met is understanding what it means to be content in Christ. He knows what we need even better than we do. I'll admit, when I was a kid, I was confused by this verse. Listen to this verse again through the ears of a child. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I always thought David was saying that God is his shepherd, but he doesn't want him to be. God is my shepherd, but I don't want him. Then I came to realize that David meant all of his needs were taken care of, and he had lacked absolutely nothing in Christ. So you have not gone through one single thing in your life that God doesn't know about. Have you declared bankruptcy? God knows that. Did you go through a divorce? God was right there. Have you suffered a serious illness, lost your job, lost a loved one? God has never left your side. He is the shepherd of your life. If you know him as Lord and Savior, he meets your every need. Not only does he meet your every need, but he met your greatest need. Your greatest need was salvation from sin and rescue from hell. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, laid down his life to redeem you and to make you his own. God has enough to meet your needs, even your greatest need. Let us pray. Lord God, help us who can hear your word. Help us come with all our hearts to the Savior who leads us into your arms. Hear our pleading and let your countenance shine over the world. Send a new age soon, a new salvation to earth, to the glory of your name. Show us that what we have learned about you is the truth, and that we may live in the truth and find ways through to heaven. To the glory of your name, hear us, O Lord our God. Often it seems that you are far away, but we know that our voices still reach you, and that those roused by your Holy Spirit will become your workers for the Lord Jesus. So send your Spirit soon, O Lord God. Send the Comforter who leads us into all light and all truth. We entrust ourselves and our daily lives to you. We want to be faithful. Help us to be your children. Remember at every step that we belong to you, Lord God. No matter how dark it is on earth, help us remember that we are with you, your children, in eternity. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Now, this gets into the most important question of all. And that is, did you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you did not, that's okay, because you will get a chance to in just a moment. Well, let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road and never knowing where to go or which way is up or down? Or maybe you lack a purpose in your life, okay? Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something much more worse, such as an addiction to alcohol, drugs, sexual morality, overeating, or gambling. Whatever the issue may be, the Lord can take it away, but in order to do so, he has to know you. So do you want to get to really know the Lord? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner, and I am so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins. And I'm now willing to turn for my sin. You said in your holy word in Romans 10, verse 9, that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and that according to His Word right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. So once again, I want to say, Jesus, I want to say thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and give me the precious gift of eternal life. Did you pray and receive Christ? Please give us your name so we can pray for you. And if you said this prayer, we welcome you into the family of the Lord. And may the Lord bless you, and may He always keep you highly favored. Amen. Well, if you said this prayer, okay, we would like you to call into area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live and you can be able to tell us that you accepted the word, you accepted the Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you all enjoyed this sermon today. And you took it in. Well, thank you very much, Mad Mark. Okay? Well, I'm going to play some music here. Okay? Here we go.
magnify all you are. A beautiful man, Jesus. In you is everything I've been looking for. Everything I've been searching for. All my desires. The longing of my soul. Fiery, burning place, the center of all of creation, the very reason why I am here and why you came for me and are coming again. It's your heart, my desire. For this world holds no reward for me. I count it all loss for the sake of knowing you and being found. Nothing in this world, nothing compares to the burning of your presence.
Shelter that natural man has need of, and I'm housing you within the house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. Can you sense the eternity of who I am on the inside of you? That which I am within you is by virtue of the cross is not limited and has never been limited. I am the I am on the inside of you is providing you with everything necessary for your life and godliness. You are not dependent upon man. You are not dependent upon that which draws breath, for I am your breath on the inside of you. I am the breath of God within you, and the God that is your breath, breathing life in and breathing life out, establishing and increasing you every step of your sojourn on this earth. I have delivered you from the body of death. You are not subject to death, for the covenant with death has been disannulled. I am he that bruised reed I will not break, neither are smoking flax will I quench. I pass through your members not to destroy you or withhold from you, or rather to stamp my image upon you such a degree that all look upon you and will say, you have your Father's eyes. I need not advertise myself when you search for me. You will find me in secret place where I secretly, silently abide and bless you and increase you and enlarge who I am on the inside of you with unceasing faithfulness. This is a temple that you are in person. You're not a Levitical order, but the order of the Melchizedek priesthood, which you are in your body, non-religious, self-referred, anchored in who I am, resting in total peace, complete confidence, and absolute restfulness and watch care by which I care for you every moment of the day, says God. Amen. Well, this prophetic word goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. Well, we've got a call, and it looks like it's Beanie. Okay. Hey, Beanie, how you doing?
All right, man. How you doing, Pastor?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
Same here. Blessed and highly favored. Yeah. So, is anybody else on the call, or is it just you and me?
Just you and me.
Oh, wow. Trip out. Yeah, I had a good day today, man. I met a brother, and he was real cool, man. He's from North Hollywood, where, like, I used to roam. But this guy has a good testimony. His father used to record a lot of the bands. I ain't going to give his last name, but he has a real good testimony and got some money. You know what I'm saying? But he's really cool. And what he does is he has an outreach for the homeless. And every Tuesday, he gets like a taco truck and he feeds like the homeless for free.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's known as the Taco Tuesday Pastor.
Taco Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, Taco Tuesday Pastor, yeah. So, he gets one of those, he rents one of those trucks, and they make the, asada, all that stuff, you know? Like the real, real Mexican food. You know?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. It was a good day today. It was hot, but it killed the virus. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people were out. Some people weren't, wearing their masks. Some were. Some were standing 6 feet away from you. Some weren't. But, hey, it's California.
Yeah.
People tend to be what they want here. Yeah. So tell me.
I believe in California, the coronavirus is peaking. Okay. Okay,
not
so.
Really, not
no?
They want you to, no. That's what they want you to believe. It's not really peaking. They, like the media wants to hype like everything up, you know, and that's why the governor, he really didn't win the governor when he was running for it. It was the other guy who won. But for somehow, some reason, he got it because he's related to the Pelosi family. You know, I think Pelosi is his mother-in-law. And so, yeah, there's some messed up stuff, and he wants to still close the stores. He's thinking about also closing the supermarkets. It's just a total takeover. It's a total takeover, you know, and I just don't like it, you know. Like, I wish I lived in Texas, you know. It's just that, over here it's a blue state, so everything, you know, has to be their way, you know, and they don't think about us.
If you close the supermarkets, how do people eat?
Exactly. That is crazy.
I
guess they wanted to be like a Mad Max. You remember Mad Max?
Yeah,
the movie Mad Max, yeah. They want to make a Cali into a third world country, I guess.
There's one way to do it. Close the supermarkets, okay?
Yeah.
You have people killing each other, trying to break into people's houses and see if they got any food.
Yep, that's what he wants. He wants California to become some type of, you know, the inmates run the asylum, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, crazy stuff over here. But I know the only ones that are being open is Walmart, Costco, and Sam's Club, like for right now, and some other supermarkets, but he's thinking about like closing them. But the only ones that would be open would be Walmart, Sam's Club, and Costco.
And not everybody's got a Costco card or a Sam's Club card.
Yeah. In Costco, they're like strict now. They won't let you go in if you don't have a mask.
Huh.
You know? Yeah, and then when you want to put your food on that one belt, you know, they're like, no, wait. You got to wait until the customer is done. I'm like, there's nothing on there. Yeah, but you're supposed to wait. It's like stupid, you know?
The 6 foot distancing rule.
Yeah, it's dumb. And then, like, nobody hardly loves Bill Gates no more. They're calling to F off and all that. Like, almost 97% online, they're telling Bill Gates to like F off, you know. Because he's the one that wants to implement the vaccines, you know?
Right.
And, what does he know about vaccines? He couldn't even help Windows get, you know, Windows used to get viruses, you know? He couldn't even help that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Did you know that his parents supported the Nazis? You know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. His his mother worked for IBM, and his father worked for Planned Parenthood. And from there, somehow they got Bill Gates to be the guy with Windows, you know, with Microsoft.
Right.
He doesn't really have, he doesn't really have no brains, but they made him like the guy, you know.
Right.
And
he
wants to kill. Yeah, and he wants to kill the third world, you know, the third world. You know, he wants to get rid of the poor. You know what I'm saying? So I guess the elite can cherish the lands or something. I don't know. But
that won't happen.
Yeah. And did you hear the Joe Gibson show?
No, did it go on tonight?
Yeah, it was on before you. He came on around 5 o'clock, my time.
Huh?
Yeah.
That means he must have came on at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 8 o'clock then. Yeah.
8 o'clock Eastern time. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, same old stuff. New World Order.
Yeah.
Is there any callers?
Doug called. Doug called. Yeah. Hey, Doug, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. How you doing?
How you doing, Doug?
Good, Benny, good.
All right. Do you remember Dougie Fresh?
Oh, yeah.
He probably used to call you that in school, huh?
Sometimes.
All the way to heaven. Heaven, all the way to heaven. Yeah.
Well, we got a minute left, guys. So I'm going to remind everybody, don't forget tomorrow night, we're going to have another Purpose Gospel Radio. Okay, I hope to see all here tomorrow night, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. So
You're going to make it, right?
Everyone have a great night.
Good night, Ken. Take care.
God bless everybody. May you have a wonderful night. And
take care.
Hope to see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Raw Talk Radio. Goodbye.
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 Adios.
Adios, amigos.
Yes.
Good night, John boy. Night, Mary Ellen.